Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the HHS Issuer Conference Call. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time you require operator assistance, please press star followed by zero, and we will be happy to assist you. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host for today, Mr. Brian James from HHS. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. We are now into our second month of data collection for the healthcare.gov plan level presentation of insurance information to consumers. I know you guys are probably just as tired as I am in terms of it seems like we just finished October and we're turning around very quickly. What that means, quite frankly, is that we are not going to be making a whole lot of significant changes in the way we've been collecting the data or presenting the data for November. We do have proposals for how we'll be progressing with information moving forward. If you're interested in those, I would encourage you to join us on the call tomorrow because we will be addressing those. But for today, we really wanted this to be a training session to give everybody the maximum amount of time to get familiar with the CMP, or Content Management Portal, tool that we're using to collect information for those plans. I do want to mention before we turn this over to David Cadero that the HIOS window for product level information is now open. We are collecting that information. It's going to be available and open through the 12th, midnight on the 12th. So if you have not yet gone in to update your information, please do so. If you've been paying attention at all here over the last month or so, you're aware of the fact that there are three new fields, one for applications, one for denials, and one for uprates. We know that for October, many of you had some difficulty getting that information compiled and into the tool. Some of you got everything except for that piece of the information in, and this is now a new opportunity to go in, get that information entered, and get your information available on the website. Additionally, when you go into HIOS, one of the concerns that we've had and one of the issues that we've been trying to address is the inclusion of your HIOS issuer IDs and product IDs for the plan level information that you're entering into the CMP. When you go into HIOS, please do note what your issuer ID is and what your product IDs are. We are linking this information that you enter into enter for your plans on the CMP back to the product level information. That product level entry is where we know, yes, this is a product that is open for sale within the state, and so that is sort of our master record for linking things back and determining should this data be made available on the website for the upcoming month. So if you have any products that have come open that are marked as closed in the HIOS tool, please make sure you go in and switch their status in the opt-out field. If you have products that were closed or were open and are now closed, go in and do the same thing. Moving forward, we will hopefully be making some changes to integrate these systems a little bit more clearly, but for now I think that'll work. The other piece of the main change, I think, from your perspective, in terms of October to November, is going to be the change in attestation. You'll note that for October, if you were involved in October, we did actually adapt the attestation piece so that you were able to attest either to the accuracy of the information submitted or to the accuracy and completeness of the information as it regards the 1% rule. okay? Please be aware, moving forward, your ability to simply attest to the accuracy will be going away. But for November, you still have those two options. Either attest to accuracy and completeness, or just to the accuracy, knowing that you're not going to be able to reflect all the possible plan combinations that you should present. So that will remain the same. What's going to change, and this is really due to the concerns that you have expressed to us, is that we are going to start collecting the attestation earlier so that it is clearly reflecting that you are attesting to the information as it is submitted, not to the information as it is displayed. You will have the opportunity to go through, review your information, and indicate whether you believe that information is correct and should be displayed at the tail end. But the actual attestation by CEOs and CFOs is going to be moved forward to the point where you submit your actual data. This should make things easier for you in a number of ways. Number one is it should remove any of the ambiguity over whether we are attesting to what is being displayed on the website as opposed to attesting to the accuracy of the data submitted. A second thing that it should allow you to do is to take the attestation with your CEOs and CFOs offline. You can present them with this information at any point, communicate to them, here's what it represents, here's what we're showing, here's what the rate tables are, and get their approval that yes, this is an accurate reflection of what we're doing before you click on that submit button. When you click on the submit button in the CMP tool, then that will go ahead and generate an attestation email just like last time. It'll go to the primary contact and they will be able to forward it through to the CEO, CFO for actual attestation. Okay? I'm sure there'll be additional concerns or questions about that, how other things operate. For concerns, questions, problems that are separate from how do I get data into the tool, I am going to ask that you call in tomorrow. We will be having our usually scheduled 2 o'clock conference call to take questions, to address concerns, and share information about what's happening. I really want to be able to let David focus on this phone call on here's how to get information into the tool. We have made some minimal changes, but for new submitters, we have actually changed some templates. We've tried to implement a few different areas to make sure that we're communicating what's needed, and we've tried to eliminate some of the problem areas that people were having. So at this point, I'm going to go ahead and transfer things over to David Cordier, who will take you through the training in how to use the CMP. David?
Great. Thank you, Brian. Just a quick note on what Brian was talking about, the attestation. We have not yet gone live with that update on the site, so you will not see that yet. I do not yet have a target date. Hopefully in the next few days we can have that implemented. So if you have any questions, you can direct them to the CMP desk. But for those, I think there's a few of you that have already submitted. If you go to CMP, you will not yet see that attestation. That's an enhancement we still need to make. So I thought I would just let you know that up front to alleviate any confusion. In terms of what I'm going to present today, I'm really going to break this out into two pieces because it's my understanding that there are going to be brand new issuers coming to the CMP site for the first time. So the first half of my presentation might be something some of you have already seen. It's just a quick walkthrough of the CMP screens and what the requirements are. And the second half of the presentation will be to try to provide you with some more direction as to how for this next refresh, how you can make updates to your plans, also sharing some of the lessons learned through the last submission period on problems that you can avoid, just kind of having a walk through the different types of issues we encountered during the first submission. Okay, so I'm going to take you through the content management portal screens. This is the website. For those of you who are coming to this site for the first time and have not yet registered, if you look next to Forgot Your Password, you would click on that register link, and you would register, create a user ID and password, and then you can enter into the CMP tool. And the content management tool is a secure site for issuers to enter their individual products. I do mention small group, but as you all know, we have delayed the small group implementation, and there will be more guidance on the details around when we will implement small group. But for now, for the purposes of what we are submitting today, it is just the individual product. There are 7 sections that need to be completed on CMP. First, we ask you to enter your portal plans, and I will go through each one of these sections in more detail. But basically, when you enter your portal plans, you're basically defining the plans that you want to display on the healthcare.gov site. We're going to ask you to complete a benefit template in the benefit information page. The benefit template is a standardized format that all issuers need to utilize, and it allows us to be able to compare on an equal basis care issuer plans side by side. We'll also ask for you to provide us with your rates in our standard rate templates and provide us with the service area that we should be quoting for each plan. We'll ask you some rating questions, which are many are geared around eligibility requirements in terms of what census we should quote for and show plans on the healthcare.gov site. We also ask that you provide some test cases so that we can validate that the rates that we programmed are in fact generating the correct pricing. We're also going to continue to ask for your logo and profile and your contact information. And I know some of you are aware of the fact that there is some duplication on what we are collecting in CMP versus what we're collecting in the HIOS tool. And at this point in time, we are going to take a closer look at that, but at this point in time, we do not want to make any changes in what we are collecting, so this is still all required. But looking at each one of these pages in just a little bit more detail, in the Enter Portals Plans page, where each issuer will define the plan unit that we're going to be working with, what's important is that we need the HIOS issuer ID and product ID. If we do not get the correct product ID, then your plans will be suppressed and will not be able to go live on the healthcare.gov site. We do a reconciliation with the HIOS system. Along with this information, we're going to ask for your plan name, plan type, effective and end dates, deductible, coinsurance, office visit, member enrollment, and SERP number. If you turn to the next page, we've defined these fields in a little more detail. The issue ID is a 5-digit numeric. The product ID is going to be the first two, the state code, plus the 2-digit state code plus the 3-digit product ID. So for example, if it's Alaska, it would be AK and then whatever the 3-digit number is. Plan name, plan type, whether it's PPO, HMO, point of service, EPO, or indemnity plan. The effective date, please make sure that the effective date entered is a current or future date. So it's really not a date as to when the plan was introduced to the marketplace, for example. It is when we should begin quoting that plan. The end date, this end date is really the date that the rates are expiring. If you, in fact, will discontinue marketing a plan and you do not want us to display that plan beyond a certain date, please contact the CMP Help Desk. And we will have to handle that manually. to make sure we get it right. Member coinsurance. If there is no coinsurance, please enter NA. And also, please note that when we display benefits, we display the member liability. So, for example, if the coinsurance is an 80-20 plan, we want to say 20%, not 80%. Member enrollment, which is a six-digit numeric, and SERP number, which is the only optional field in this data set. Then we'll ask that you, for people coming on for the first time, we'll ask that you download the medical benefit template. And again, it's a standardized format in Excel, using Excel 97. And on the second half of my presentation, I'm going to go into a few specific items to be aware of when you complete the medical benefit template. So that's to follow later. We also would still like to collect your benefit brochures. So a PDF of your benefit brochures for each product that you are entering into the CMP. Again, the PDF of the benefit brochure, as most of you know, is currently not being utilized on the healthcare.gov site, but we still do want to continue to collect it. And again, we are evaluating and looking more closely at what the long-term approach will be, but at this point, we want to still collect it. The next page will be the where you would the issuer would download the Excel rate template, and what we will ask a series of questions to guide you to the template that will accommodate the type of rating that you have. If you still have questions as to whether it's the correct template or it doesn't seem as if there is an appropriate template based on your rating, please feel free to contact the CMP Help Desk. And by the way, all of you should have received emails from an account specialist at the CMP Help Desk introducing themselves as being a primary contact person that you can work with to answer your questions, and they can help guide you through the CMP submission process and also answering any other questions that you might have. We'll also need you to complete the service area template, so provide us with when we should quote your plans. We have the ability to identify the service area at a zip code level, at a county level, or if your rating utilizes issuer-specific regions, please define how those regions should be broken out by either county and or zip code. The rating slash eligibility questions template also needs to be completed. I will go into a little more detail in the second half of this presentation on a few things to be aware of, but we basically need to know under what specific conditions we should be quoting your plans. For example, if we should not be quoting child-only policies, then that should be indicated on this template. Rate test cases, again, we would like you to provide us with some specific test cases and what the correct rate result should be so that we could verify that what we've developed is, in fact, pricing correctly. Company profile template, we'd still, those of you that have already been onto CMP have already completed this, but for any new issuers entering onto CMP, we would like to collect your company profile. It's in a suggested format so that there's some consistency when someone is looking at various issuer profiles. And then finally, we would also like your contact information. So that was a kind of a quick run-through of somebody coming on to the CMP site for the first time and what they might expect in terms of what our requirements are. I would like to spend some time now talking a little bit about, for those issuers that have already been onto CMP and need to make updates to their plans that have gone live, or need to make some corrections to their submissions that are still being processed and are not yet live. And also for those brand new issuers and issuers with new plans. So if there's a brand new issuer or brand new plans that need to be created, we recommend that a new request is generated. If you're updating rates or service area, you would continue to go back to the initial submission request and upload a new rate and a service area template and resubmit. If the rate update does not apply to all plans, then highlight the new rates and resubmit. Also remember to please supply an updated rate test cases template so that we can verify that the rates that have been updated have been programmed correctly. For benefits that are being updated and just the benefit update, go back to the original initial submission tab and go into the existing request and update the current benefit template and highlight all changes that are being made in the Excel sheet. If you're making any changes to the rating questions, eligibility questions, go back to the original request and update the rate question template with all changes highlighted and resubmit. If you're removing plans, all that's required is to send the CMP help desk an email with the issuer name, issuer number, state, plan name, product ID, and cancellation date. If you're just simply extending the end date on your rates, all that needs to happen is an email should be sent to the CMP help desk, again, with the issuer name, issuer number, state, plan name, product ID, and new end dates. We will be opening up for questions, so if some of this is not clear, we can talk about it. And as I mentioned also, you each are assigned an account specialist that could also assist you. On the next page, what is important is that when you do submit, to enter a comment as to what exactly you have updated in your resubmission. This way, that it's a great way to communicate with us to make sure that we are understanding exactly what your requirements are. You'll have the fields highlighted, and you'll also have a message that you can put here for processing. I want to talk about some of the problems that we encountered as during the first submission period. And all of these issues I'm going to go through did happen to multiple issuers, so these were common problems. One of them is in the benefit template, we recognize that, you know, there are issuers that have different types of prescription benefits, and in some cases, some of the benefits may not exactly fit the way we have described them here in a standard manner, where we're asking for generic prescription drugs, brand prescription drugs, and non-formulary prescription drugs. If your prescription drug program doesn't fit into any of those three categories or doesn't fit with this approach, what we ask you to do is to put NA in each of the cells. And by putting NA in these cells, it will open up the prescription drug other coverage. At least in the new template, we are requiring that NA be put into these three cells for generic, brand, and non-formulary, and that will trigger the Excel sheet to open up the prescription drug's other coverage. And the other coverage fields allows you the flexibility through free form text to describe your prescription drug benefit. For example, some issuers may have prescription drugs defined in tiers or levels. So that would be one example of Rx benefit description that doesn't fit into the standard definitions that we created. What's important here is that it's either one way or the other. I think there were some issuers that they may have indicated something for generic, and then for those categories that didn't fit into brand or non-formulated, they supplemented by adding more into prescription drugs. Can't do that. Can't split it up. It's either use the standard format of generic, brand, and non-formulary, or use the other coverage field. So these are on the rate template. We've added in the new templates, we've added some notes that we feel would be helpful and cause some challenges with some issuers, but don't change the format of the template. Currently, we only support XL97, so please remember that. Do not change the values of the drop-down list. So under, in order to get the rate template, you've got to answer the questions that we ask, and we direct you to the appropriate template based upon your rating. We found that some issuers began creating their own user types and were not utilizing what's in the drop-down box. That will cause an error in processing. You have to utilize the specific user types that are programmed into this template. Do not input NA in any of the cells, just simply leave it blank if there are no values. Do not change the plan names. They are auto-populated for the enter portal plans entry. So if you look at the sample that we're looking at here, the Solo 1000 RX, it's the first plan that appears on this template, and it was the first plan you entered into the portal plans page. And the second plan would be the second plan you mentioned to the portal plans page. So this is all synced with the enter portals plans page. All of these templates must continue to have these plans in the same order so that we process accurately and correctly. So do not, and the new templates have been updated so that these fields are read only, but this was a big issue for version one template where issuers were mixing around the columns. Also, FYI, we provide a couple of tabs, one with a sample of how the rates should be entered. Do not change the plan names of those templates. A common problem we found with the rating questions, not so much a problem, but an issue, where certain issuers, they had different rules based upon the plan. So let's say for four plans, you can, there was a different age range perhaps for a family member, and maybe for other plans there was something different, or some plans were allowed children only apps and other plans don't. If you have rules that are specific to specific plans, then please note that in the additional notes section. So under the answer column, be consistent and answer those questions for one set of plans, and then in the additional notes section, indicate what is different for the other set of plans. And we provide an example here where what is the maximum age for a dependent who's not a full-time student? In the additional notes, we say this applies to all except their HMO plans. HMO plans allows 23 for maximum non-student dependent age. Again, just illustrative, but that would be how you would communicate that to us. On the rate test cases, we actually had quite a few problems processing the templates, and we want to make sure that we clarify exactly how this template should be completed. Below, in this particular screenshot, we show 23 test cases, but we do recommend, and this is up to the issuer's discretion, but we do recommend up to 100 test cases. And make sure to provide different census in your test cases. Complete the appropriate columns based upon the family member in that row. So for example, on row 10, which you can't see the row numbers, but it's the very first single male test case, and you would input each column relating to that primary and leave all spouse-child fields blank. The service area should cover as many different counties as possible and provide different test cases based on boundary eligibility conditions. It's important to note that if you want us to test that certain scenarios do not generate a quote, for example, if you do not want your plans to quote child-only applications, and you can enter census for that, but under the correct rate results, just enter zeros so we know that it should be not processed. And again, effective date should be a current or future date. Getting one last thing, the county column, please provide the county name in all capitals. If not, we will change it for you, but it'd be helpful for us. Also on this rate test cases, if you were to have scrolled over all the way to the right on the prior page in the Excel sheet, the last columns represent the correct rate results for each plan. And again, these plans will be pre-populated, the plan names, and do not change the order of these plans if you have one of the older templates. Those are some of the lessons that I want to share with you, some of the challenges we faced during the last submission. I do want to mention that another lesson that we learned is, or that we'd like to share, is do not wait until the submission deadline to submit your plans and your updates or new plans in CMP. Please submit as quickly as possible. It'll ensure that we can get your updates quickly and get you feedback as quickly as possible. So to the extent that you can work with the CMP account specialist and try to get your updates done, that's great. I know that there are, I won't guess the number, but there are a number of issuers that are very, very close to approving what's been put on the Find or Verify site, and there's probably just a few little tweaks that need to be made. I strongly recommend that you get those done right away and out of the way. If you have any questions, you have the central CMP email and 800 number, and you also should have gotten emails from your account specialists. So at this point, I think we'd like to just open it up for questions.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. If your question has been answered or you would like to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received, and please press star one to begin. Looks like our first question comes from the line of John Ellison with Blue Cross. Please proceed.
Yes, hi. Couple of quick questions here. If we have an update, let's say, to a benefit template, do you want us to delete the old template and just add the new one, not leave the old one out there?
So if it's just, my recommendation would be if it's just a small change to the benefit template, I would just update the existing one, highlight the cells, resubmit, and make sure you just put a little description in there as to, in general, what you've updated. If there are significant changes, I would recommend transferring the data to a new template.
Okay. Now, when we hit submit, how are you going to know which one of our templates are updated? Are you going to go out and read the CMP site for us to look at those messages, or are you just going to upload all the templates we have out there?
We're going to read the message that you've provided, and then we're going to look for any cells that have been highlighted.
So you'll only update the sites, the cells that are highlighted?
Yes.
You can't just reload the whole template?
Well, we could do that.
Okay. So if I indicate that, you'll do that?
Yes. I'm just curious, though, if you're having just a few updates, why would you want us to update the entire template? Just my own knowledge.
Because things might have been out of order. And plus, I as I was fixing it, I wasn't keeping track of everything that I was fixing.
Okay, that's fine. We can just reprocess the whole template.
Okay. Now, when we do this, will the data display prior to the 22nd or the 15th, I mean?
Depending upon when you submit. I mean, if you submit this week, I would say yes.
Okay. Okay. Now, when we get to the 22nd, and I'm hoping everything will be done by then, when you say 48 business hours.
No, 48 hours.
Yeah, 48 hours. Is that business hours or just could it be, because that's a Friday, the 22nd.
I believe the intention was business hours. Brian, is that your understanding as well?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, to be honest with you, I think our original understanding was that it was 48 hours, but given that it is on a Friday, I think, and really you should be the driver on this, Dave, in terms of what makes sense for the scheduling, but would it make sense to say the 26th, I don't think we want it to be 48 business hours, as in 8 hours per day across the next week.
Oh, well, what I meant is business days, in the sense that
yeah,
it's going to be Friday's going to be the 22nd, so you'll give us to close of business on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think we ended up shifting a date, which is why that has gotten a little weird. But Dave, is the 26th. Going to work?
I hate to see the calendar.
But I tell you what, I apologize because we should have figured that out. I honestly think a date shifted on us. We will make sure we reach out to people and let you know when that turnaround is going to be due. Okay? The real issue was, though, that we wanted to give people 2 days from the receipt of the communication. So that, you know, you've got the 48-hour turnaround after you've heard the problem area.
Okay, so you'll re-clarify that. The final question I have is, if I haven't been contacted by my primary CMP person, what should I do to make
sure they... What issuer are you calling?
A Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts.
Okay. We'll make sure somebody, John, gets out to you.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Stephanie Knotts with Advantage Healthcare. Please proceed.
Hi there. I just wanted to let you know that we haven't gotten our email for our contact person either, so I didn't know if I should send an email to the help desk or.
I'm sorry, you're with Advantage Care?
Yes, Advantage Health Solutions.
Yes, can you do that and send an email to the help desk and they'll get back to you right away with someone?
The CMP help desk?
Yes.
Okay.
And let me just mention, for anyone else out there that has not yet heard, it's possible it may have gone to a different contact person in your organization, but I would just send an email to the help desk and they will clarify that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Jana Cole with Cigna Healthcare. Please proceed.
Yes, I have a question regarding if there's changes that need to be made to our templates, but to the data that's posted with CMP currently, but that submission was all transferred information. So let's say, for example, we found a benefit that we needed to update. Do we have to populate all, like, do we have to go and make new templates? Because obviously with the transfer, we did not create templates. Do we have to create everything to submit the one change, or would we just do the benefit template and can we hit submit?
That's a great question, and we've discussed it, and we do have a benefit template already completed for every issuer that's been transferred. So you will not have to re-input all of that for the benefit template. You can make the specific updates to that template, but contact your account specialist to make sure it's clear to you and you can work with them directly to make that happen.
Okay, so So if we, let's say we have a benefit that we need to change for this round, because everything was transferred, we do not have any other templates. Nothing was submitted through CMP because eHealth transferred all of our data. So,
right. So what I am saying is that with the transfer of the data, we also have what was also transferred was your benefit template. And it should be identical to the template that we utilize in CMP. We can load that for you, so it's already completed. And then you can go into CMP and make the updates required.
Okay, so what was transferred, CMP now has those templates?
Yes, but we need to manually put it out there for you. That's why
okay.
I'm recommending that you work with your account specialist.
Okay, that would be, and we wouldn't have to submit everything. We would, if we had a benefit change, it would just be that one change and get the one template loaded and change it and submit. Like we wouldn't have to input the corporate info and the logo and the contact information. We wouldn't have to input all of that stuff for the change.
That's a really good question, and I think that we will have to provide you with further guidance. I think the intent is to provide you with the source documentation for the benefits so you don't have to input all of that all over again, but you make the point about the company profile and the contact information. I would say we'll have to get back to you on that. I don't want to make any commitments at this point.
Okay. And with the attestation, I just wanted to be clear. So this round, we are not giving the CFO, CEO a special link to go back to go out and view data. We're asking them to review the data online before we hit submit. Is that correct? Because we're going to get an email. Or does the email still generate a link that they can go to the staging area?
So what we are going to, the enhancement that we're going to make is that when you click on the submit button in CMP, it should trigger that email automatically for attestation. The enhancement is not yet live, and we will let you know when that is available. It will be available prior to the 15th.
So the email will be similar to the last attestation where they will have a link to view it in a staging site?
It will be exactly the same as the last attestation, except it happens sooner in the process. It happens when you click submit in CMP versus further downstream when we've loaded the Finder Verify site with your updates and we're looking for you to approve the information. It's not going to happen further downstream. It's going to happen up front when you've made your updates into CMP and click on the submit button.
It will go to that staging area or the test site.
That part will not change.
Okay. So, and then that's where we can also go and audit our information. The question is, because we have so many individuals that are submitting information, but, you know, one person is actually in the CMP tool with one ID and one password. So we were using that staging site as our place to be able to send that link to other people to audit data without giving them the password to CMP. So I just want to make sure that staging or that is still going to exist for us to be able to audit.
Yeah. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Christine Leek with Independent Health. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you. A few quick questions. Regarding the rating updates, is there some sort of timeline, not necessarily for this update now, but let's say going forward, possibly like a rate update in January, is there a time frame as to when the approved rates have to be uploaded into the system, if that makes any sense?
Yeah.
Well, I would say as soon as they're approved and available for uploading.
Is there going to be a, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, is there going to be a monthly update available?
We are going,
CMP?
Yeah, we will be moving, we will be doing monthly updates moving forward.
Okay.
We may, you know, December is a period that we're actually looking into whether we should really require it or not. We're trying to catch our breath. But we will be doing monthly updates.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of your when they need to be reported, we would ask that you do it as soon as possible, obviously. But
yeah.
I think the statutory limit is 30 days after
okay.
the rates have been approved.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We want to do it as soon as possible. I have one other quick question, maybe more of a comment. In terms of the plan type, there's, you know, the HMO, the PPO are available. Has there been any consideration given to adding a high deductible plan option, high deductible health plan?
Yeah, the way we've actually been handling that is through the HSA eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because
yeah, I just don't know if a member or, you know, a consumer would know that that meant it was a high deductible health plan necessarily.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure that they, I'm not sure that there's a clear-cut definition of high deductible health plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so the, what we've really been treating it as is by, okay, is it HSA eligible?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that actually makes more sense to consumers based on the fact that, okay, yes, I can use my HSA for this. But we're certainly open to discussion, comments, and advice on how to handle it.
Okay. In the original phase one submission in HIOS, there was an other option, which we chose, and then we put in the comment section, we put high deductible health plan.
Yeah.
And for us, we just felt like, you know, we have a lot of those options, and it would be helpful to have that as a choice in the drop-down box.
Yeah, really, though, you should be indicating it by type in terms of whether it is the PPO or HMO.
Right.
And then letting us know that it's HSA eligible. But by all means, if you want to send, in fact, Beth Lou is going to be, is currently kind of the contact for that type of comment.
Okay.
And so please just let us know. And then tomorrow on the phone call, if you want to raise the issue, we may be able to talk about it in a little more detail.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Nancy Moses with Horizon Blue Cross. Please proceed.
Hi. Can you tell me, are we going to require attestation every time we have changes in a release?
Actually, are you going to be calling in tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about it tomorrow. I really want to focus on the training for today.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you'll raise that tomorrow, we'll address it tomorrow.
Sure, and then I have one other question related to this. eHealth did a transfer of our plans. I have changes to both benefit descriptions and to the rates. Am I going to be able to just modify? Will it be out there in the CMP for me to modify, or do I have to contact somebody?
So, Nancy, it's Dave, David Cordero. So we actually did not go live with your plans, correct?
You didn't? Why?
I'm sorry. I'm confusing you with someone else. So your question is for the plans that we did transfer.
Right.
And you did do the attestation for.
Correct.
You're going to have updates to those plans.
Yes. We have additional benefit description changes. And we have new rates effective November 1st, so both.
Okay. So this is kind of goes along the same question as Cigna.
Yeah.
And so we can have the benefit template, most current version, loaded into CMP.
Okay.
But then I need to get back to you on what other information we're going to require that you enter. You will have to enter in the new rates.
Uh-huh.
But I'll provide some more guidance right away on that.
Okay. And if I have new PDFs, we should upload those as well now, too, even though you're not displaying them?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And one other question I had was Horizon actually has two different legal entities, one for our HMO line of business and one for everything else. I believe that everything was just entered under the main Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey.
Right.
HIOS number. We actually have two HIOS numbers. So
okay, so another great question. So there were a number of issuers that we transferred from eHealth, and we were not able to separate the legal entity names because on the eHealth site it's all marketed under the marketing name. And so moving forward, as you begin to now process your updates through CMP, you should be submitting each legal entity name separately. So there should never be an instance through CMP where you load within the same request two different issuer numbers. They need to be separated, and then that allows us to separate the legal entities on the site.
Okay, so then in this case, I should re-enter everything through CMP under the two different legal entities?
I think what you can
avoid some of that rework.
Well, yeah, I think what you can do is just load the same benefit template to both and then just delete the the plans that do not apply for that particular request / legal entity.
Could I just delete them out of the cells, or I was just afraid of taking those templates because
Dave, this is Brian. It might make sense to have her deal with the person assigned to help her to take her through the particulars of it.
Got
one thing I will let you know is that we did actually assign the appropriate HiOS IDs behind the scenes.
Okay.
So the product numbers are actually associated with the appropriate legal entity.
Okay.
But moving forward, separating those so that we can create the two different entries in eHealth is going to be important to us.
Okay.
And I think all the advice Dave is giving you is good. I just want to make sure that, you know, you actually work with it with your representative to make sure that it gets implemented.
Okay, and I haven't received anything as to who my representative is. Do I call the help desk for that, or?
Yeah, send an email to the help desk, and I can tell you that they're listening in right now, so they're all taking notes.
Okay, all right, that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Sinead Madigan with Health Alliance. Please proceed.
Hi there. My name is Sinead with Health Alliance Medical Plans Illinois, and I am calling wanting to know about the rate changes that we have are for January 1. So when we were a transfer plan, so what it sounds like is I needed to work with Luke. And for any of the plans that are waiting for contacts, I just got one just now, so they might be sending them out today. So you might be getting an email shortly from your contact. So I need to work with that person to have my benefit template put out there or somehow given to me that was transferred, and then the rate document, and then I can go ahead and do that now, but I would maybe submit in December for my January 1 changes, so I have nothing to change for November or December, for example.
So okay, so you're anticipating a rate update for January 1, but you don't yet have the approved new rates, so you're wondering if you should still go into CMP?
Yes, so I go ahead and get it going and then just get it all just so I'm done in advance, because the rates do not go in effect. The rate change, we've been approved, but it doesn't go in effect until January 1.
Yeah. My recommendation would be if you do not have any updates for this particular submission, I would wait.
Okay.
Because we will be rolling out a new maintenance function, which I would recommend you use.
Okay.
For the January 1 rate update.
And that might be coming right after, so we'll have time to deal with that. So we might see that in October, or would we see that in November?
It will be ready for the next submission window, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Irving Albrecht with BCBS South Carolina. Please proceed.
Yes, thank you. My question involves the last submission, and we are attesting to the information that has been submitted and to the accuracy of the information. We went through and completed all the templates, the information validated in the system. It was loaded, and then we went in and made some adjustments based on what we were seeing that the consumer was going to see. When we were satisfied that that was going to display properly, we went through and validated and then did the attestation, and products were not put up. I just had a question about what would be the problem that would keep the products from displaying.
Right. And this is Brian. If you did, if you had tested and your plans were still not displayed, the vast likelihood is that it is one of two things going on with the products in HiOS. Keep in mind that given what you've reported in HiOS, if you have indicated that a product is not open, we will still accept your entry of plan information, but we will not display it until it has been marked as open in HiOS. Additionally, there was the requirement that we have the application update and denial information. There were at least 13 issuers, to my knowledge, who had completed everything in HiOS and the CMP except for that application information. I believe we sent emails to all those issuers, but we did not send emails to all people who had their products linked to closed products, because we recognized that as a legitimate reason why things might not display. I would suggest that you go ahead and review your information in HiOS because the submission window is open and you can make whatever corrections. But if you are unaware of why your information did not display and you want an official reason, please go ahead and send an email to either the HiOS or the CMP help desk. That'll get forwarded to me here at HHS. And we will look up the reason and then get back to you.
Okay, and I have verified that the products were marked open, and in fact the denial and the number of the contracts was loaded into HiOS.
Okay, well, I without reviewing and looking at it, I really can't speak to the specifics of your situation. I have not, but if you'll send in that email, I'll be able to go and look specifically at what the situation is, and I will do so.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Lisa Wall with BCBS of Kansas City. Please proceed.
Hi. I have a question about an earlier statement about if we don't want a plan displayed, that we don't actively market. We just send an email and you won't display it anymore. We're all under the assumption that if we're actively enrolling but not actively marketing, we are required to display the product.
That is correct. Yeah, I'm sorry. I myself didn't mean to imply that if you're not marketing it, it can be marked as closed. And I don't think I heard anyone else imply that. But if so, I think it was just a miscommunication.
Yeah, I think that was me. So my intention was that if we are displaying plans on the healthcare.gov site and we should no longer be displaying them versus just making an update or a rate update, please let us know.
Okay. And similar to a previous caller, we have two legal entities for PPO versus HMO. If we want to enter both of them under the same marketing name, is that possible? I mean, enter the legal name at the beginning, but is there anywhere to, you know, send a note that please market this under the overall Blue Cross name?
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, Brian, you want to take this, but I believe the direction is we want to have the proper legal name on the healthcare.gov site.
Yeah, and that is, though, something that we can review. The legal name is something that we most definitely want to have reported to HiOS. We've actually had discussions about how best to handle that on the website display to consumers, so we welcome comment on that. And again, if it's something you bring up tomorrow, I think we can make sure we get it on our list of things to address.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Elaine Langle with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Please proceed.